Hello, St. Pete Life Magazine fans. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and with me today is editor, creative director Nick Steele, and he is going to give us a preview of the new issue. Welcome back to studio, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you have an amazing cover. I mean, after Angela Bassett, I didn't think it could get better. How the heck did you get Morgan Freeman? And tell us the behind-the-scenes story.
Well, the opportunity arose because he was coming to do his symphonic blues experience with the Florida Orchestra, who's just amazing. They bring in amazing talent. And they've had quite a roster this year with Cynthia Erivo and Morgan and a bunch of other folks. But I've interviewed him in the past, and we have a relationship. So when this was coming up, it was kind of falling between our issues, but he's someone that is a very dedicated philanthropist, and he's very politically active in you know, the environment and lots of other issues. So I thought for the giving issue, if we could talk with him, and so we had a couple of chats, it would be great. That's exactly what happened. I'll tell you, the show with the orchestra was incredible. It was legitimately electrifying. I think the fusion of the orchestra with jazz was something I've never seen before. He brought his singers and performers from his club in Mississippi, and they were just incredible to see. But what I loved was the orchestra really matched them note for note. I mean, you have these incredible performers up there singing and belting out these tunes, but the orchestra was just on fire. So it really, and he does a little bit of a Q&A at the beginning of the show. He's taking it all over the country, and he's been in through Europe and other places. But he comes out with his co-creator, and they have a little chat. And he was so funny that night. He's an ornery guy. He's a he's at a particular age where he's earned the right.
88, is that right?
Yep, that's right. And he's earned the right to be whoever he's going to be. But he doesn't always like engaging.
Like journalists, he says.
He doesn't like the imposition of journalists. And, you know, it's something you and I have a long background in this business. And we remember a time when it was, you know, polite and cordial. And you actually created relationships over years. And I do have a good relationship with him. He just doesn't like the imposition of having to sit around and answer the same questions over and over again, which... that is a legitimate thing that performers go through, is they have a spate of press. And now, because the internet and everybody has a podcast and everybody, there's so many more outlets and so much more they have to do that they do find themselves repeating the same information or being asked the exact same questions. So as you and I know, you try and vary those questions and find ways into a conversation that aren't things. Like, I always read everything up to that moment beforehand so I can stop asking them those questions.
It's a beautifully written piece, and it's insightful. And I did not know about his giving back and the Rock River Foundation. Tell us a little bit about what he's doing to give back to the community.
So he started it as an early children's foundation. He wanted to reform education in his hometown, like where he grew up, the area that he grew up in. And, I talked with Morgana, his daughter, which a lot of people don't know. He has three children. They don't know about Morgana, but she runs his foundation. And she's incredibly smart and lovely. And his granddaughter actually works for the foundation as well. So it's a real family foundation. But over the years, what she told me they learned, and I thought was really interesting, and I quoted her a little bit in our editor's letter or introductory letter, is that you don't change those things by necessarily just giving money to a situation or just trying to – how you change it is engaging the community, getting them to be your partners, engaging the educational facilities, and getting them to help themselves through whatever you can support. You know, if they have a program they've devised and they want to put their time and effort behind, then funding that rather than trying to come in and tell other people how to run their organizations, which I didn't know this about philanthropy until a few years ago, but I like the fact that now, like, because of people like Melinda Gates and a lot of other well-known philanthropists, they're not putting conditions on their donations anymore, because for years it was always, you can have this money, but you have to do this with it, or you have to devote it to this, or you need to open a wing that does this. Now people have learned that the best way to actually have an impact is to join in with what their mission is and let them decide what to do with that money and how to apportion it, and if they bank it, if they whatever they want to do with it. There's not these conditions of you must do this.
There is a beautiful photograph in the magazine that I think, you know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. Nick, you've just really finished this up with such a beautiful photo of him just gleaming as the children walk by. He's going to be November 14th. He's just opened a new movie, Now You See Me, Now You Don't, tomorrow.
Yep.
And producing the limited series of The Gray House, a Civil War epic with Kevin Costner.
Yeah. And you know, I think the Now You See Me, Now You Don't is a third installment in that series. It's a really popular franchise. But, you know, one of the things I find really funny about him, and he said it to me and I didn't put it in the article, but because he didn't really want to talk too much about that film, in the sense of he wanted to just talk about the symphonic blues experience, which is great because that's what he was promoting. But he said, you do some jobs for the money and you do some jobs for the role. He's like, and you, they're both important, and he loves the money. You know, so, you know, it's one of those things where I think that, and that the reason that picture is so meaningful to me of him with the kids is he had just done a luncheon for the organization, and he got up and talked to the kids, and he was talking about his love of reading that started when he was a very little boy, and how reading allowed him to imagine himself in as all kinds of people, learning to fly a plane, learning to be captain of ship, learning to, and he did all those things as an adult. He doesn't sail anymore because he has an injury to his hand, but he did all those things as an adult, becoming a performer, all of that. So, you know, I love how giving he is with those kids.
I love the next story, Growing Together.
Well, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, this story, Meredith Pericles, the founder of the Do Good Day, which Radio St. Pete is always a partner in. Tell us about this story. It's just absolutely luscious.
Thank you. Well, again, because it's the giving issue, we wanted to highlight a chef that had a connection to a project that was either philanthropic in nature, which they're a non-for-profit, and they work with a lot of non-for-profits, and they give back to the community in a multitude of ways. So when I was there, for instance, they were providing food and drinks for an event that CASA was doing. So they partner with so many agencies, and they do it with such a spirit of joy. It's really, you know, I didn't even know it was there until I started doing some research, because you'd never, it's not like when I'm going on my walkabouts, you wouldn't walk by it and notice it. And I say that in the piece because it's really in the script and from the outside. But it's like, it really is like a little oasis. You know, you go in and there's a sort of calm that watches over you, and there's people working on the field, picking things and doing things in the garden. And then the chef is in the kitchen working, and Meredith and her family, as I said in the piece, were sort of running the ship outside. The thing that Chef Zach, who backing up a little bit,
15th Street Farm is what we're talking about.
Yes,
folks,
sorry,
in South St. Pete, and they support the Bowley Center and CASA and the city, and USF is a composting initiative, so it's really important. So Zach, Chef Zach, came from a Tibetan temple.
He's worked in all kinds of restaurant environments, but his last sort of stop before the farm was working at the Tibetan monastery here in the area. I love that part of the story again, because when he met them, he was working at the zoo in Tampa, and they were having a day, a wellness day or something, and they brought the monastery folks in, and he just had an instant connection with them. And he wanted to learn more and went over there, and he calls them all his aunties and his grannies, and, you know, and he learned about that style of food and where they all came from and the origins of all of that. He just collectively learned a lot about food over time, and he loves the international aspect of fusing all of that together. And he does that on the farm with food they grow there on the farm, and then supplements it with local other local farms, and you know, the thing that it grew out of a situation where it was there was a I'm trying to think what it was called, but there was a not a rehab, but a there was another entity there before them, and they were going to turn it into a parking lot, that farm, for that business, which was like a wellness center kind of thing. And instead, they turned it into this community garden. It started out as a community garden, and then it's just morphed over time. And they just last year opened the restaurant portion. Now, it's not a restaurant as in like you could make a reservation and just go in for dinner, but they do have dinners that you can buy tickets for and go in. And there's always either an educational component or a community component that's really just lovely. For me, the food was amazing. I mean, I guess you really can't go wrong when you're plucking something out of the ground and cooking it right up. And
Terroir, right?
Yeah.
The land. So I know that Zach's family actually owned a famous restaurant in New York City, a legendary restaurant. So he came from a very high bar, and then he went and lived in Thailand. Don't you find him to be the most humble chef you have set eyes on? He's just soft-spoken and humble. And
he is. I'd say he's shy, even. I will say I didn't know that that was a famous restaurant. I remember him saying it was across the street from a famous hotel. And the funny thing was his father and his uncle had no experience with food and never got involved with the food aspect. He was the first one in his family to really want to get involved with food. And he started working in like a breakfast joint, and then worked his way up, worked in all kinds of different environments. Like you said, traveled around the world and learned about cuisine. And, you know, that's what makes him so special. But yes, he's very focused. And like even the way he plates everything is beautiful. It's an incredible experience to see him work. And he is very serious about it.
Talking about beauty and another international star, Sarah Garas of Top Buttons. You know, she's originally from, I believe, Iran or Iraq, one or the other, and she came here. Tell us a little bit about this, because I just love her, and I love shopping there, but she has a special mission.
She does. And, again, now she is someone that I was wandering down the street one day. I came out of a doctor's appointment and walked across the street, and there was that shop, and I wondered what it was. I went in, and, you know, again, I always get, like, a strange look because you're a man in a women's environment. And that is really a sacred women's environment in many ways, because what that is based on is helping young girls and young women who've either been trafficked, who have been victimized in some way, you know, domestic abuse, or they're just struggling, or they're disadvantaged in some way. And it gives them a hand up. It gives them the opportunity to go in and get clothes for free for if you need to go in and get clothes to interview for a job. If you need, we went there when there was a prom event going on. And not everyone can afford those clothes for the prom. That's a pretty expensive thing. And it was really transformational to watch her in the environment with them. Because she is so powerfully sunny. She's a really sweet and lovely human being. What I thought was so interesting, and it's not in the piece, when I was doing my research on her, she got involved in this whole mission because Top Buttons existed before.
Right, maybe somewhere else, Newport Yes. Richey or something
Yep.
like that.
But there was no store. But she had a knock in the middle of the night on her door, and it was a young woman who'd been trafficked and wanted to her help, and they let her in, and she became aware of Top Buttons through that, and she loved their mission, and she said, well, I can do something. Let's open a store, and let's do this, and she's done a beautiful job. I mean, they even had, like, a mobile thing that went out to schools at one point and brought clothes to kids. It's just it's one of those things that makes you, there's so much negative you can focus on in the world and in the community, and then you find these small pockets, you know, whether it's at the farm or it's at this store, of people who have just have this incredible humanity and are sharing it in the most beautiful ways.
Well, you know, I know that you also had a profile of Kanika Tomlin from Healthy Foundation of St. Pete, also a giver and someone who does good. And then you had, I love this Unbroken Voices poem. I mean, the whole issue is, it's just transformational. If you haven't gotten involved, then you need to read The Big Give, because it really gives you 1,001 places and 1,001 ways to give back during the holiday season. Talk to us about The Giving Guide, Nick. I know this was a lot of work.
So The Giving Guide is our first annual giving guide. It's a It's a curated list of non-for-profits in the area who do incredible work in every arena, and they serve every demographic. We really tried to, you know, it's all over Pinellas County. It does not just focus on St. Pete. It does not just focus on one category. The hardest part was getting the list to like 50 groups, and because there's thousands. And what I said at the end of it is anyone who knows of a group or is part of a group that wants to be included as we move forward. And I've already had like 6 emails from groups who are like, we love this, but we want to be in it next year. Absolutely, you're on the list. You know, as long as you're a nonprofit and you're doing good work in our community, I just wanted a place. We each issue, we try and highlight one philanthropy story. But this gives people, especially when you say, like you say, during the holiday season, when you're thinking about it and you want to do something to give back, it gives them a resource guide. It gives them the ability to look through and say, "This I connect with this. You know, this is the thing that I want to support." So it's been really lovely to do. It was a lot of work to put together, but believe it or not, just because you have to fact check all of that and make sure. And the thing that's always amazing to me, and I will say this, I don't even know what the word is, but it was hard to get in touch with a lot of the organizations because nobody, whether they own a business or they have a foundation, lists their phone numbers or emails or anymore. It's one of those things where, again, you and I remember when that was the number one thing is like put your phone number somewhere where someone can reach you or put your email. There's forms on websites now. There's all these things to keep people. And that is really a mistake, I think, for businesses, for organizations to have a barrier to contact, especially when someone wants to give you money. So for me, I always find it surprising when that is there. So that's my little bit of advice to the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so interesting for me looking at this incredibly well-researched, well-written list. Academy Prep Center of St. Petersburg, our president, Joe Bordeaux, is involved. Of course, I know that Beth Ann, your publisher, probably Bacchus Horses for Handicapped.
Yes.
The Edwards Foundation. We just had Alex Harris in the studio today. I mean, honestly, I want to say, Nick, and you had moved here from other places, and you've lived in New York, you've lived all over the world. Have you ever seen so many organizations dedicated to different causes that need help?
I have. And I think the thing that is, you know, that's the through line is they all need help. They all need support. And they, like I said, you need to find the one that resonates with you and devote yourself, whether you can volunteer some time or you can donate something, whether, you know, like I've been filling up bags with pantry items that, you know, I'm like, I don't need this. And there's all these places now that are collecting pantry items. And I'm like, I need to, you know, go and drop off at like these 5 places because so you have to find. And I volunteered for Reach St. Pete, for instance, and I volunteered with some of the animal organizations. But like you said, what we did was I reached out to all of our contributors, all of our advertisers, all of our friends of the magazine and said, who would you, and you sent me some suggestions. You know, that because I had to rely on the community to tell me, you know, who's doing great work. And because, like I said, there's so many, you just have to whittle it down somehow.
Well, and thank you, St. Pete Life Magazine, for shining a light on these nonprofits. And now I want to move on to a show that is at the James Museum and Marsha Biggs' fine article on Edward Curtis.
Yeah, so Marsha's our former editor, the one that preceded me, and she loves the arts. And we, you know, if she could, she would have every single article be about something in the arts. This was one that we both felt really strongly about. It's an incredible collection of photography. They're not even able to show the full collection. And he's a bit of a controversial figure because what he did was go out at a time when, you know, the American Indian was still living out in the plains and, you know, and he did all these incredible portraits. And he was criticized because people thought they were staged. And some of them, certainly, they were more, they weren't daily life. It wasn't them working in the field. But they'd put on their ceremonial costumes or they would pose in, you know, something that was special. But it was still authentic. It was just people weren't used to that level of portraiture. And I guess because the American Indian was so sacred, they didn't want it to feel like they were being exploited. To me, what it is a beautiful document of a culture that just doesn't exist at this point. And, you know, I think it's incredibly powerful. I encourage everybody. We actually put the book also in our gift guide. It's available at the American Craft Museum.
It is Indigenous People Month, yes, in November. So it was wonderful to see this story. And, you know, I have to say, being from the West, I love everything about this show. It is truly one of the blockbuster shows up there with Ansel Adams and Clyde Boucher. So I encourage you all to come. And then finally, you have a little fun to share with us, a new country festival coming. Tell us all about that.
Well, it's really exciting because it's the first year of the St. Pete Country Fest. We've had all kinds of music festivals here. And as you know, it's just a crowded field of incredible, and they're always incredible. That's the thing, is the quality of what is put on here is amazing. I say this in the beginning of the Morgan Freeman thing. We get world-class talent here, and now it's happening with the country music scene. You know, Angie Ray, who was on our cover a few months ago, is one of the headliners for it. You know, there are many incredible performers coming. I think there's over 60. And it happens over 3 days, November 21st to the 23rd. And I think everybody who's a country music fan will just be delighted to go and experience it.
You know, it's such an incredible weekend because you have Standing Ovations is coming in Treasure Island. You've got the Suncoast Jazz Festival, the 21st through the 23rd. You've got this incredible country fest. If you can't find something fabulous to do with your guests coming in, or even, you know, I mean, Nick and I look at each other, we go, we cannot be everywhere.
It's true.
Nick, before we leave, we want to thank you for once again creating an incredibly gorgeous piece of St. Pete life where people live, work, and pay. And it shouts out to Beth Ann Drake. Can you give us a little preview of what the January, February 2026 will be as we go into Grand Prix season?
Yes, well, absolutely. And the Grand Prix will factor into that. We'll have a great article on that. What's coming for that? The boat show is coming back. But it's our women's issue, and we'll be highlighting significant women in the community. You know, there's a great woman chef who I just think her story is beautiful and relatable and interesting. Because, you know, that's one of those areas, cuisine, you don't find a lot of prominent women chefs in this area. But when you do, it's incredible to have the chance to highlight them. So I look forward to doing that one.
So one of the things I encourage everybody to do is, one, subscribe to St. Pete Life magazine so you can stay in touch, not just with downtown St. Pete and St. Petersburg, but Nick has expanded that reach. And then, Nick, a wonderful newsletter.
Thank you.
And how can people find the magazine online? You have a new website. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, and social media. Follow on social. So tell us how they can find you.
So our website is stpetelifemag.com. As you said, we just relaunched recently, and so that we can have a content-rich site. We're starting online originals there so we can be a little more current because we're in a bi-monthly format with the magazine. We're on social, and our handle is St. Pete Life Mag on Facebook and Instagram, and, you know, any other way. We're at Book and Bottle and Tombolo Books and the St. Pete Life Store. And you can, if you want to grab a copy of the magazine, what member of the community, go ahead.
Say hi to our friend Shelly. So for Radio St. Pete, Nick, it's been a pleasure to have you back in the studio. Do you have Christmas plans, Thanksgiving plans, or have you already lived it through the magazine?
I feel like I'm months and months ahead. I do not feel like – I feel like the holidays are behind me. But, yeah, so that's funny you say that. I definitely always am in a time warp.
So why don't we wish everybody – since we had the giving guide, let's give thanks. I give thanks to all of you listening to Radio St. Pete. We are a nonprofit, all-volunteer station. I give thanks to our partners, St. Pete Life. And most of all, I give thanks for the talent and virtuoso eye of Nick Steele. Thank you for being on air.
Well, thank you. And I give thanks to you because not only do you contribute to the magazine, but you are, as I've said many, many times, one of the most incredible community supporters of everyone out there. And you, it's unfathomable to me how you do everything that you do and that you're able to manage the programming you do, because I struggle to put together a magazine every 2 months.
Well, I will say that our wonderful audio engineer, Tim Valley, we thank him. And for all of you out there, we give thanks. Go out into the community. Let this Giving Guide of St. Pete Life magazine push you to do something for your community. For Radio St. Pete, I'm your host, Annette Weiser. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.